At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
I got to get something off my chest, Deke.
Go ahead.
And I want to be calm when I say this. So I love fans. I'm a fan. We're all fans. And we love sports. I love sports. We love sports. And so yesterday afternoon, because the Yankees had a day game, I was lucky enough to take my 4-year-old son, Spence, and even my wife to the Mets game against the Guardians. And
I almost saw history,
Teak. Absolutely. And we'll talk about the Met issues coming up, I promise. But I'm watching this near no-hitter. I'm explaining it to my son, who had zero interest in it until the ninth inning. He's 4. Mm-hmm. He was distracted by everything else. And I'm disgusted like every other Met fan. I wasn't booing, but there was a lot of booing yesterday afternoon. Fine. I'm not going to lecture people about that. But here is what really pissed me off. And it's almost been 24 hours, and I got to get over it, but I'm still angry at my fellow Met fans. That's right. I'm angry at my fellow Met fans. When Gavin Williams, the pitcher for the Guardians, gave up the home run to Soto, stayed in the game, issued a walk, got an out, and was pulled, okay, with 2 outs in the ninth inning, he got a standing ovation from Met fans.
What's wrong with that?
What's right with that,
Teak? Don't you get to appreciate a potential near greatness for a team that just doesn't have no hitters? Their last no-hitter was like 25, 35 years ago.
You think that means a lot to me?
I mean, it should.
I'm a Met fan.
Actually, I think it's more. I think it's like 44 years ago.
1981, Len Barker, perfect game. Yes, it was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Why do I care about that?
I don't know. You shouldn't. But when you're in the midst of like abject mediocrity, because it's not just regular mediocrity. This is like abject mediocrity.
They went 13 innings without a hit. Yes.
13 innings without a hit. Yeah. And this is 8 losses out of your last 9. You get swept by the Cleveland Guardians. It just feels like, ugh, we're at the low of the low. This is the nadir of this streakiness that I talked about a week ago. You win 7 in a row, then you lose 8 of 9. Like, this is the bottom. And so when you're at the bottom, where else are you going?
Cheer the opponent?
No. It's like, where are you going? You're not going farther down. You're just kind of, you know what? That kid actually is pretty good.
No.
Let's give him a little standing ovation.
No.
We appreciate it. Because I know, and I only know this because I'm not a Met fan, but I am in a Met chat. Met chat with me and Chad. Or Chad and me.
Yes,
sorry. So
yes.
I get it.
Yeah.
I could feel the shift happening. Because originally it was, are you kidding me? We're going to get freaking no hit. This is horrible. to the end, it was like, I'm kind of rooting for this.
Okay, there are two things.
I kind of want to see this,
Tiki,
because it will make me feel better about my pain. Like when you're in pain, it almost feels better to have more pain because it negates the pain. That's what I felt like was happening with the Mets.
You aren't wrong. So there were two things that happened yesterday, and there were 40,000 people there, so I am not alone in being in the building and experiencing this. There were some Mets fans who wanted them to get no hit because of the rock-bottom nature of what it would mean.
Yes.
Okay?
That's what I felt. I'm not a Mets fan, but that's what I felt
afar. There are people who felt that way. And in my Mets text chat that you're referring to, that you're a part of, absolutely, there are Mets fans who yesterday said, you know what, F you guys, this is so bad and pathetic, I hope you get no hit. That's one group of people. Yes. The other group of people who were cheering are not those people. The people that were cheering were like, yay, I almost saw a no-hitter. Yay! Who cares if it happened at the expense of my team? I don't feel that way. Bro, I went to Chris Heston's no-hitter. What does that mean? That's when a Giant pitcher pitched a no-hitter against the Mets in 2016. It was my dad's first and only no-hitter. First and only. These guys watch thousands of baseball games. He has never seen a no-hitter in person. Do you think for a second he cheered that no-name pitching a no-hitter against his team? No way. No way.
Great.
So this is nothing personal to Gavin Williams or anybody else. But if you're in that building and you're a Met fan, you're appreciating his greatness. Since when do we do that? Since when do we say, oh, you know, that Derek Jeter, he kicks the Mets' ass. Let's give him a standing ovation. What kind of losers are we cheering the opponent?
Okay. How many people were there last night?
40,000, bro.
40,000 people. How many of them are the regular 40,000 that go to all the other important games?
I don't know.
Probably not a lot.
Okay.
I'm going to say
big camp day.
I'm going to say it's half. Maybe half. Most people are on vacation. I'm supposed to be on vacation. I should be in Cape May. And guess what? My kids have cheer practice. So who gets to come back and bring the kids to cheer practice while Tracy stays down at the beach? That would be me. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to come back up and go to work. That's how it is. Some people are just there because, you know what? I can't go regularly. But now I'm going to go to a baseball game. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. The Mets, there's tickets available because people aren't going. They're going to the beach. They're doing other things.
Oh, they are going. They got 40,000 people there.
How many of them are the regular 40,000?
I don't know that.
I'm trying to explain to you why the lay fan, who's not the diehard like you are, sees this. They never get a chance to really see this, and they appreciate it. That's all it is.
Okay, so I want to bring up an example. You know Mark Melusis?
Of course I do.
Love Mark Melusis. And I've told this story to Moose before, so this isn't going to, you know, catch him from afar. But years ago, Mark did a show here on WFA, and I was listening. And it was right after the Mets stopped Chase Utley's 35-game hit streak. He had a 35-game hit streak in 06. So keep this in mind. 2006, we are not blood rivals yet with Chase Utley. He's a young player.
Right.
So don't give me this, he maimed Ruben Tejada. That would happen a decade later. And Mark Melusis was mad at Met fans for cheering the end of Chase Utley's hit streak. And I'm like, excuse me? Of course we're cheering the end of his hit streak. Screw him. He's not on the Mets. And Moose had this debate with callers all day. Great radio, by the way. That's why I commend him. He got me pissed off. Saying Met fans were not being classy. We should have cheered Chase Utley. We shouldn't have booed him. We should have appreciated his bid for greatness. The Met fan in 2006 was right. The Met fan in 2025, to cheer a guy who most of you may have heard of, but you're not that familiar with, pitching a near no-hitter against our pathetic team? No!
So what's happened? In 19 years, what's happened?
I don't know. I don't have an answer other than it bothered me.
Well, fandom has changed is what's really happened.
Is that what you think?
Of course it is.
You think we're different?
You can see it. People aren't as vicious. Philadelphia, other than, say, the crazies on Sunday afternoons for the Eagles, Philadelphia is not as crazy as it used to be.
Yeah.
Say for FOMO Cheeks, who almost tried to beat up Sean. But, like, most of the Philly fans, as crazy as we want to say they are, they're kind of, like, chill. Right? You see them every now and then, and it's kind of like, unless they're at a game and maybe a little inebriated, they're not really vicious. They're just kind of, like, fans, they're happy.
I don't want to be vicious, though. I don't understand why we got to give an opponent a standing ovation.
The fan is different.
I don't like
it. The fan is different.
Okay, I don't like it.
So, you know what? I'm going to guess, let's say less than a third, but probably like, I don't know, a tenth maybe. A tenth had that guy on their fantasy team.
Oh, God.
And they were like, hell yeah. I mean, I'm joking, but you never know. So I think the appreciation or the ire from the fan for like the bottom that you find yourself in is not the same that it used to be 15, 20 years
but,
ago.
But the ire was shown throughout the day when Juan Soto was booed
and
Francisco Lindor was booed.
That was ire at the Met player.
So why are we giving love to an opponent who did it?
Because you can't just give hate and negativity to everybody.
I'm not saying
you
we have to
appreciate the good thing that happened yesterday.
It's not a good thing.
It was a good thing for Gavin Williams.
I'm not a Guardian fan. No one, well, there were a few Guardian fans there, but most people there are not Guardian fans. I don't care about the good thing he did.
Sportsmanship, Evan.
Sportsmanship. I have.
It's one of 162. Hopefully it doesn't matter in the bigger picture. So you appreciate it in the smaller picture. That's what this is.
I appreciate great things in baseball. I think you know that about me.
Of course I do.
And while I may appreciate greatness, one thing I will never do is stand up and show that appreciation. And I have to admit, so I was sitting in section 122, which was field level last row. It's my go-to when I don't have my tickets. Right. I didn't have my tickets yesterday. And so why I describe that is everyone was in front of me. I was in the last row of a section. So I got to see the rise of asses and people as Gavin was coming out of the game. And I'm so annoyed. I turned to my wife to complain about it. And what is my wife doing?
She's standing and cheering.
Yes!
Of course, because she appreciates it. Well, she's not the diehard. You ever watch boxing? Like, and these guys are just bludgeoning one another, just blow after blow, especially these good fights. And it's uppercut and it's body blow. And it's like, oh, man, one of these guys is going to die. And then afterwards, one of the guys wins. The other guy gives him a hug, pats him on the back. Great competition. It was awesome.
Yeah.
The thrill of the competition.
Yeah.
The battle that happened in the ring. It's the same thing. As a fan, you watch something great.
I don't see it.
Right. It's why, look,
I'm
I know
sorry,
this,
I don't see
this
it.
Is why I watch. Look, I'm not a Met fan, but this is why I like watching sports.
I respect that.
Because I want to see something great.
Totally get it.
And you usually don't.
Yes.
Most times you don't. Most times you see bad and ugly and error and everything else. But when you get that rare opportunity to see something great, even if it's not your team, and maybe this helps because I'm not a Met fan, but still, even when it's not your team, how often do you get to see almost great?
No, very rarely.
Very rarely.
I admit
and so
that.
When you see it, you appreciate it. And that's why the Met fan got up
you
and
cheered. You can appreciate it without cheering an opponent in your own building.
Okay, but you can't show him that you appreciate
why
it
do
unless
I have to
you do that.
Why do I have to show him anything? I don't have to show Gavin Williams anything.
You're being a meathead Met fan. That's exactly what you're
Am
doing.
I?
You're
being a hater. Guardian.
Don't hate on that Gavin Williams just because he's for the opponent.
I'm not hating on Gavin Williams. I'm hating on us as Met fans for standing up and cheering him 20 minutes after we were booing everyone on our team because we're disgusted by the offense.
Right, because you're done with your offense.
So instead, after
you were probably done with your offense a week and a half ago.
Well, look, the offense has been dreadful. It's the reason they're in the situation they're in. It's the thing that should scare you the most about this team, which we will discuss throughout the day at 888-808-1019. But what I can't do, and I think I've been very consistent about this, whether I was a teenager or I'm a grown man, is I never cheer the opponent. Mm. When Mark McGwire's hitting home runs off the scoreboard and the rest of you guys are like, I didn't cheer him. When Chase Utley struck out in the ninth inning against Pedro Feliciano and his hit streak ended, I wasn't like, oh, great job, Chase. I'm so proud of you. BS. And so, yes, I'm mad at the Mets, and we'll talk about all their issues, but I'm mad at you people. And if you were in the building yesterday, and you stood up, and you cheered this guy, explain yourself, because I don't like it. I know you're on my side on this one, Sean.
No, I would have cheered, even if that was happening to the Yankees. Yes, I would have.
That is such crap.
No, it's not. There's a difference here. You got to realize, he did not throw the no-hitter. If the game ended with him throwing a no-hitter, and every Met fan in that building or non-Met fan, or Met meathead in that building, rose to their feet and gave him a standing ovation for no-hitting their team, I think that is a major problem.
Well, why is it okay to cheer the effort but not cheer the completion?
Because, you know what? You breathe the sigh of relief that he didn't, in fact, totally embarrass your team. Mm. You have your problems with your team anyway. And on a Wednesday afternoon, where everybody entered that ballpark to be entertained, the Mets did not entertain them. They got out of it 4-1 by the time Williams walks off. And for those 2 hours, the entertaining part of their afternoon was that this nameless, faceless pitcher from a nameless, faceless organization, it's not a Philly, not a Brave, not a Yankee, not a Dodger, twirled one of the great pitching efforts in Major League Baseball this year. And they cheered the idea that they, at least, while they can't have their own team help them out, got some entertainment and satisfaction out of this guy.
You know what's interesting, Sean? I just realized it might have been relief.
Yeah, it could be two. Yeah.
You're cheering relief.
I don't think you're cheering that after the actual no-hitter. You're pissed off that your team got embarrassed. Right. That was gone.
It was relief. It was like, oh, man, we're not going to be another note in Cleveland history because they haven't thrown a no-hitter since May 15th, 1981. And that was a perfect game. Len Barker's perfect game.
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't thrown a no-hitter since then. So you could have been plastered in Cleveland history.
And
now you weren't, so you're like, whew.
Good job, Gavin.
Thanks for not fully embarrassing us.
Tiki, you and I like to, you know, indulge in the alcohol in a baseball game, unlike Gavin, who scores everything.
Give me tall boys.
A game like that yesterday, if it's 4-1 and then Soto homer came in the third inning, that is as boring a day baseball game as anybody could attend in a million years.
Great point.
They were on the edge of their seat for 8.5 innings, waiting with bated breath for a hit, and then they didn't have the relief. They cheered the entertainment factor. This guy who doesn't matter in Mets history didn't know hit him, but you know what? He gave him a fun afternoon.
Yeah, I was miserable. I hated it. I hated every second of it. And as we were getting closer to the no-hitter, and my wife was there, like I said, and my four-year-old was there, my wife says to me, do you want to see it? I said, do I want to see it? No. And then she said, what about Spence? I said, well, what do you mean, what about Spence? He doesn't know what's going on. I'll explain it to him, and I did. But she says, don't you want to see it for him? Mm. And I said, no!
It took me
until I was 30 to see a no-hitter.
Did you explain it to him as it was happening?
I was. I'll tell you his answer. My dad saw one, and he's been on the planet for over 70 years. And you'll appreciate this, Sean, and you, T. You both appreciate this. I didn't want to deal with Jet being jealous that Spence saw the no-hitter, and he didn't.
That's your best point.
That's amazing.
I don't want to deal with it.
Like, Dad, Spence doesn't even care.
Mets suck.
Well, I did it in the ninth inning as the inning was starting. Because here's the way it works when I take my kid to my four-year-old to a game. I get through the first few innings, he's interested.
Yep.
Then I go to Kitty Field. Then I get the ice cream. By about the seventh inning, I go to the closer. The closer is the tablet. And I admit, it's a cheat code, and I don't like to use it unless I have to. So seventh inning, here comes the closer.
I hope the tablet's not Devin Williams quality.
So he's on the tablet. I take the headphones off, shut the tablet. I say, Spence, I got to explain something. He's like, what? I said, here's the deal. You're three outs away from seeing baseball history, the Mets being no hit. You could have that, or the Mets could get a hit. We're probably still going to lose, but what would you rather see happen? And he looks at me and says, I want the Mets to get a hit. Mm. And I said, that's my son! That's my son! And so when Juan Soto hit that meaningless home run, furthering his new nickname, I don't know if you guys were aware, Juan Solo. Yeah, I like that one. I didn't come up with it. It was an emailer to Rico P, but still, it's pretty good.
It's a good one.
I'm going to use it from now on.
Right. And if he turns out to be great, I'm just honoring Han Solo.
That's right. Sure.
Savior.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
You don't know who Han Solo is?
I'm joking. I do. Jeez. He's a Star Trek character.
I was going to get up and leave. Yeah. Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek character. But when Juan Solo hit that solo home run.
Star Wars, by the way.
Sure. Same thing. I was relieved and I was excited. And so was Spence. But what I didn't do 5 minutes later is give Gavin freaking Williams a standing ovation.
Okay, so what did Spence do? Did he follow your wife or did he follow you?
He's back on the tablet. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019, including the issues facing the New York Mets. And yesterday's Yankee win was something that I thought Aaron Boone was going to seal his fate as being a former manager on. We'll get into what happened and if this leads to the Yankees now returning their season around. So there's a lot of baseball to get to, a lot of football to get to. Aaron Glenn was very clear on his plan for Saturday night. What should the Giants do?
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails.
Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Let's say you were at Citi Field yesterday. You've never seen a no-hitter, and here's Gavin Williams being allowed to pitch the ninth inning, which was crazy considering his pitch count.
111?
Really? It was 111, and it ended at 126.
Yeah.
And Vogt kept him in the game even after he gave up the no-hitter, which was crazy. But if you were sitting there saying, you know what, selfishly, I want to see a no-hitter, do you really want it like this? Like, I'll never forget back in the late 90s, Jim Ross was the WWE play-by-play announcer, and whenever a heel would win a match really dirtily, he'd be screaming, not like this, Triple H! Not like this! Not like this! And then Triple H would win and become champion. Do you really want to witness a no-hitter like that? Like that? Gavin Williams against this super-powered Met offense?
Why not?
No.
I mean, you keep saying super-powered Met offense like it's the Fab Four or something. By the way, I think we figured out why he did that. Because
the Beatles.
The Beatles honorary thing or whatever it is.
And well-timed promotion tier.
They're clearly not the Fab Four. But I mean, why not? It's like a hole-in-one.
Not like this.
Why not?
Not like it's like, okay, let me give you an equivalence. You did golf. Can I do bowling? Because
bowling?
Yeah, I'm going to do bowling instead of golf because a lot of us think we're... bowling and golf kind of remind me of each other.
No chance.
No?
More people golf than bowl.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I disagree.
Can you look that up?
I disagree because anybody can get out there. You don't have to spend money on clubs.
Okay,
exactly.
Rent those shoes and you get the picture of
that's beer, a man. Real
yeah,
rich...
Do you like bowling?
Yes.
That's a different question.
No, but you said, I think more Americans bowl.
Interesting. Now I need to figure out the answer.
Well, I think the answer is bowling because Sean hit on it in this case, and you're very rarely like
easier to do?
Well, I think you've been very rich with your answer. Mm. That was a very rich person's answer.
No.
Golf's not as rich as it used to be, but
still.
but bowling's for everybody.
So the reason I brought up bowling is I used to go bowling all the time with Chad, who's in the group chat. And one day, I bowled 211. It was the day of my life, okay? 211. Never hit 200 ever since
and
or
that's
before.
Good.
Is 211 good?
Yes.
Yes!
But isn't 300 great?
That's a perfect game. I've never bowled a perfect game. But on that day, I bowled a 211. Now you'd say, okay, well, give me the comparison. Chad and I went on a Thursday afternoon where we were the only people in the bowling alley at Woodmere Bowling Alley. But on Friday and Saturday nights, we'd go rock a bowl in Rockaway.
Okay.
Not Rockaway, in Lynbrook. We'd go bowling in Lynbrook. What's that name of that place in Lynbrook?
I don't remember.
For all my Long Islanders. And so I was bemoaning the fact that I couldn't have done this in front of the girls on a Friday night with the place packed and people around me like, whoa, look at that geeky redhead. Instead, I did it on a Thursday with only Edna watching.
Would they have been impressed by 211?
Yes.
No, they wouldn't have been. That's where you're wrong.
You don't think so? You don't think I would have gotten makeout session that night or something?
Girls go for the guy that throws a gutter bowl every once in a while because they're normal. They look at a guy throwing that good at bowling like, ooh, what a loser.
Either way, if my fantasy is wrong,
it still was like a not like this moment. Like, really? I'm going to get my 2-11 on a Thursday afternoon with Chad as my only witness?
What did you want? A 0-0 tie into the ninth where both pitchers are thrown out of here? Like, what does not like this mean?
I don't know, and it's a great question. Maybe it's my team doing it. Maybe it's a better pitching performance as opposed to the walks that Gavin Williams issued. Maybe it's a bigger name, a star. I don't know. That's up for you to decide, but that was not how I'd want it. That's not how I would want it. That's supposed to be special. So for Met fans to then cheer him as he's walking off the mound, it pissed me off. Now, am I more pissed at you than I am Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor and Brandon Nimmo, who, wait, just struck out again? Not really. I'm more mad at the Met offense, but I wasn't happy with my fellow Met fans. Let's hear from you. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. Let us go to Lee on Long Island. What's up, Lee?
Hey, guys. I was at the Met game yesterday. Before I get to that, the fact that you think women would make out with you over a 2-11. It's amazing that you're married. It is amazing you ever got married.
That's a good read, Sean Morris.
Thinks that gutter balls gets him women. I mean,
an occasional.
I can't believe he's ever seen a woman naked.
I have two kids, so I saw it twice. At least.
I imagine the lights were off. all right, so I was at the game yesterday.
Yes.
Okay, and Evan, I want to say I think you're wrong about this. They weren't standing up and giving him an ovation. They were tipping their cap after he walked up the mound, because every time during the game, seventh, eighth, ninth inning, every time Lindor grounded to second base, which he did every at bat, they booed. Every time Soto took a bad hack or Alonso looked lost the plate, the fans were booing. They weren't cheering on the no-hitter. They were booing the team. And when Soto hit that home run, what happened? The place went nuts because they didn't get embarrassed at home. But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to be embarrassed at home, a piece of history is like a consolation prize. That's all it is. People are looking at it as a consolation prize. And when he left the mound and they cheered, they stood up and clapped for him, they clapped for a guy to tip their cap to him, not to celebrate him.
Right.
They couldn't pick Gavin Williams out of a lineup tomorrow.
Right.
The same people that were at that game.
And by the way, next time he pitches against the Mets, people are going to forget that he almost pitched a no-hitter.
Outside of Evan and me,
most people would forget.
I'm just telling you, he's just not, unless he turns out to be whoever, the next great whatever. You're going to forget.
Two things. First of all, I do want to correct myself, because I've said this a lot, and for whatever reason, it's in my head this way. Chris Heston's no-hitter was in 2015, not 2016, which is significant because it was during the buildup to the Mets trade deadline where they ended up getting Yoenis Cespedes, Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe, and their offense was really struggling. They not only got no-hit by Chris Heston in June, but I remember Clayton Kershaw had a perfect game into the fifth or sixth inning. Like, they were really struggling offensively. So, A, I want to correct myself on that. B, I think it's a contradiction to boo your own players because you're upset your offense stinks, and then proceed to cheer the guy who just did what you're booing.
But it's not cheering per se. It's tipping the cap. It's a golf clap. Think about it. Someone, an opponent hits a 54-foot putt, and it beats you. As a golfer, you're going to, you know what? Respect, dude. Got to give you the golf clap. That's what it was.
No, but you know why? I don't know if I buy that. The Met offense has sucked against everybody. If you go back to the night before, they scored those two runs early, and they proceeded to do nothing the rest of the game. They ended up losing 3-2, right? They got shut down by the Giant bullpen. Guardian bullpen.
They also got shut down.
Them too. I'm getting confused. Right. They went over the final seven innings on Tuesday, not only not scoring a run, they barely had any hits.
Mm-hmm.
So when you combine that with what Gavin Williams was doing, it is fair as a fan to say, was it really Gavin Williams, or was it that the Met offense gets shut down by everybody?
True, but
so why are we applauding him when in our own mind we think we're just inept?
Yeah, you think it's you. So it's more you and more than it is Gavin Williams.
Don't you think most Met fans felt that way?
Of course they did, but it still didn't matter. Gavin Williams just taking advantage of it.
And you still got into the ninth. As struggling as the Mets did, the idea that you can't appreciate what Gavin Williams did, that never happens anymore.
You know what it is, maybe? The Met fan appreciates a guy who can go long. Being honest. I mean, it's for real.
Yeah, we're not used to that.
I mean, David Peterson actually is the one who actually can get through six and maybe into the seventh. But Clay Holmes can. Manaea can. Frankie Montas, forget about
it. No.
Senga, I mean, nobody can.
They are on an incredible stretch. Gary Cohen cited it on the SNY broadcast the other day, where they are on a stretch of games where no one outside of Peterson has gotten through the sixth inning, and it's of a historical nature.
Right.
So obviously, it is true. We don't go long. Andrew is calling from Amityville. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Before I ask this radical question, I've been dying to know, did Keith McPherson ever get back to you about who the Yankees' current biggest rival is?
Yes.
We talked about it like a month ago?
Yes.
Who was that?
Yeah, so after he joked and said it's the Yankees themselves, I think he did confirm the Red Sox and said it's still the Boston Red Sox, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember. I called. I said that it is, but they're not inflamed at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you this, and it's interesting that you make this phone call today, because tomorrow the Yankees play the Astros, and the Astros have rekindled it based on the acquisition of Carlos Correa. So I would be intrigued coming out of the weekend how the Yankee fan reassesses the current state of rivals. Now, obviously, the Red Sox have played well. The Yankees are matched up to possibly play them in the playoffs, but I do think the Astros are rekindling it too. So I'd be curious to hear from Yankee fans as this weekend goes on.
We'll see. So, all right, thank you. So I wanted to see if there is a demarcation of where you would cheer the opposing team doing something against your Mets.
Go ahead.
Say, super hypothetical, of course, say Judge hits, 763, beats Barry Bonds' home run record at Citi Field. Are you cheering or you're not?
What's the score of the game?
I'm going to say no context matters. It's the 763rd career home run. He beats Barry Bonds.
Yep.
And you're there.
Here's the problem, and you may hate this answer. Context is everything. If the Mets are up 8-0, I give up and cheer the guy naked. Who cares? If the Mets are losing or it's a close game, F that.
Right, you only care about what it means for that one.
It's the exact reason why McGuire, because I don't want to sound holier than thou, like I didn't cheer McGuire in 98 because I knew he was juicing. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the fact the Mets were in a pennant race. The home runs hurt, and to me, the pennant race of 98 mattered more than Mark McGuire chasing history.
So if it doesn't mean anything for the Mets season, great job, King Judge.
Yeah.
If it does,
Yankees.
Well done. Exactly.
Yeah, I think context is everything to me. Like, I cheered Mariano Rivera one time. Mm. You want to know when it was?
Why?
The walk?
The walk? When he drew the walk?
That drove in the run?
No, because the Mets were losing a game at Citi Field to the Yankees. Horrible guess. I cheered Mariano Rivera at Citi Field.
The All-Star game.
There you go. Man. That's my man. Yes, because it didn't matter to my team. I couldn't give two craps what Mariano did in the All-Star game at Citi Field. But I cheered him because I do appreciate him. I do respect him. There are a lot of players I respect, but it doesn't mean I'm going to cheer them when they're doing something against my team. So in terms of Aaron Judge doing something or anybody else, the context of the game absolutely matters.
So if it's the context of the game, you were there. We could hear the boos loudly on TV for Juan Solo at times. Did we get to the point in the seventh, eighth inning where fans were cheering Guardian outs as Gavin Williams continued to make this climb?
Great question. So here is my interpretation, okay? And I got a guy on hold who was at the game, and I'm going to get to him next because I want to see if he's like in agreement with me. I think that there was like disgust every time the Mets made an out, and almost like this,
like a groan, like a groaning,
like a groan, but like a hilarious groan. Like Met fans were groaning, but they were also like, "Ah, here we go, we may see a no hitter,
another weekly grounded."
Yes, it was about 40,000 Beningos. That's how I felt it.
Okay,
and then when Soto hit the home run, the place exploded. I was very excited. I mean, even though it was.
Why? Because you thought you had a chance?
No, because the no-hit was broken up. Okay. I didn't want to get no-hit.
Also, on that note, can't raise the apple in that spot.
Nah, come on. They raise the apple for every home run.
Yeah, it's rote. It just do it. You just do it.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it.
Yeah, that's just a part of the tradition. Plus, that's not fair to the little kid who just wants to see the apple risen. Like, Spence loves the apple coming up. So, you're going to tell a little four-year-old, yeah, the Mets are getting shut out. We can't raise the apple?
It's like when the Knicks shot confetti from the roof of the Garden when they were down 3-0 in the series.
No, it's not. Because this isn't about a game. It's about a home run. It's a tradition. How dare you say that? Let's go to Josh in the Bronx, who was in the building yesterday. Josh, did you cheer Gavin Williams as he walked off the mound?
No, I didn't. I didn't even notice that anybody was cheering. I didn't hear any cheers yesterday until the bottom of the ninth inning.
What planet are you on? Where were you sitting?
408.
Wow. Okay.
It's crazy. I've been to each game this homestand. I've been to seven out of the last eight home games. Mm-hmm. As we all know, the offense has been extremely pathetic, and this was the first time in Citi Field that I can ever remember that I was actually booing. I started booing in the seventh inning, and the reason for that was because in the seventh inning, I now sat through 10.5 innings of being no hit. The Mets did not get a hit since the fourth inning of the night before.
That's
and, of
correct.
Course, I was at that game, and I was at this game. So that was pathetic. Another thing, I still have issues with Mendoza and the in-game situations, which I spoke to you guys about a couple weeks ago. He starts Vientos over Batty and Mauricio constantly. I don't know why. But Tuesday night, I understand. He started Vientos over everybody because Vientos is a righty and he was facing a lefty. But then it was like the fifth or the sixth inning. It was a big spot. I think it was first and third or first and second. And they brought in a righty pitcher. So instead of pinch hitting for Vientos and putting in Batty, they leave Vientos in there, and I believe he grabbed into a double play, or it was right. A quick out. You either have to play the matchups or you don't. Pick a side. Just do one. Stay consistent.
Well, I think a lot of things that Mindy does, it's feel. It's what he emotionally thinks.
No,
his
because when
going
he
to do.
Pinch hit for Batty with Vientos, he gave this cockamamie answer of, well, Buddo struggles against lefties. Well, why does that matter when Brett Batty hasn't had a hit in a month?
Right.
It shouldn't matter. There are certain things that bother me in terms of when you're starting this guy and not this guy. Like Ronnie Mauricio not playing the last two games annoyed me. Pinch hitting Batty for Vientos annoyed me. Like, those are all fair. But ultimately, no one's hitting. Mm. So, yeah, you can complain about it. I'm not saying you're wrong. But how about Brandon Nimmo? He just struck out again. How about Juan Solo? How about Lindor doing nothing? Like, it is just such a collective offensive malaise. So while I can agree with you on some of the nitpickingness of individual moves Mendy makes, it's just as overall they're not hitting. I think the reason he didn't hear cheers, and I'm surmising this, is I was in the lower level, which I don't normally sit in.
You could hear them or you could not.
They were all standing in front of me cheering. It was the most obvious thing ever. So I wonder if the 400 section and the 500s upstairs, maybe more of the real fan, stayed firm on, we're not cheering for an opponent, but everybody around me was giving him a standing ovation.
We had this happen earlier in the year. Remember there were some Mets fans in the building that denied that Soto was getting booed when everybody heard it on
TV
earlier? Yes,
I was one of them.
Yeah, so maybe that's just something about where you're sitting in a park and the way the sound travels.
Maybe. All I know is this. Yesterday, everyone got booed. Soto heard it. Lindor heard it. Even Pete heard it. Like, Met fans throughout this game, as they were getting mowed down, they were doing the cha-cha-cha, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. There was a lot of boos coming out. And I kind of agree with our last caller. I'm not a booer. I did not boo yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the kind of game on the heels of the night before where if you're in that building, I would get close to booing.
Here's what I can't wrap my head around. Guy like that goes to 8 of the last 9 Mets games, blue collar, 400s, and calls him Brett Batty? Bothered me the whole phone call.
Maybe he was just talking about his at-bats. So he had his at-bat in his mind.
Has to be. There's no way.
Brett Batty didn't get at-bats. That's what he was thinking. And so he said Batty as opposed to Batty. But the second time around, he said Batty. So he corrected himself.
I got to defend him. Now, if he corrected himself, which I didn't even notice.
Which he did.
He did. I was too focused on the first. I couldn't even focus.
The second time he said Brett Batty, he said it correctly.
If he doesn't pronounce his name right, I'd be the first guy to defend him. I can't tell you how many years I called JT John Tavares by just a slightly mispronunciation. And I'm sitting there and I watch him a lot. Sometimes mispronouncing guys on your own team is easy because once you get a name in your head, even if everyone calls it something different, you just get stuck on it.
Well, maybe he was actually being clever.
Because he doesn't do
Juan
well with
Solo. Brett Batty drives me bats.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, I like where you're going there.
I'm just saying. I think the Juan Solo one, which again, I know I'm going to get credit for. It is not my design. It was an emailer to the Rico. Is actually one of the single most creative nicknames I've ever heard. And I think I'm done. I think
Do you know how many?
Juan Solo?
Of his 27 now?
26.
26 home runs were Solo.
Do I know? Quite frankly, not only do I know, I believe that when Gary Cohen cited it on TV the other day, he just didn't give the proper credit to the Rico Bronya. Because we've been breaking it down for weeks now.
Nice.
So not only is 20 of 26 of his home run solo. 20 of 26. But Teak, I'm going to make you laugh even more.
Go ahead.
20 of 26 are solo, right? That's bad. The remaining six, all two-run home runs. He has not hit a three-run home run. He has not hit a grand slam. 20 of 26 solo home runs.
Half of this is not his fault, right?
How's that?
Because the guys in front of him aren't getting on base.
Oh, come on. What's his numbers with runners in scoring position, bro?
I mean, it's been terrible all season.
So
we
don't
know
give me that. You're wrong.
I'm just trying to I don't know.
Don't try. I mean, seriously, you don't have to try.
I mean, you are paying him $70 million a year.
So. I'll tell you something else. Because I tell you 20 of 26 are solo. I have a follow-up for you that you may appreciate.
Go ahead.
I have his breakdown from last year.
with the New York Yankees.
Because
context matters.
Of course.
Like, you hear that and you say, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, what did he do last year with all of his home runs? So, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
You want to play a little guessing game or just want me to tell you?
I'm going to say, so he hit 40 last year.
How many of the 40 were solo?
I'm going to say 22.
That's a great guess. 23. 23 of the 40.
So, half. so just under half.
Yeah. Well, this is 20 out of 26, bro. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had better leadoff hitters last year.
That's not. No, he also hit with runners in scoring position.
True.
Like, I get it that there may have been more guys on base. I don't even know if that's true because he's had plenty of opportunities this year. He hasn't been clutch. Doesn't mean he can never be clutch. I'm just giving you the facts on this season.
I feel like that's a Major League Baseball problem, too. I'd like to do a deeper dive. I feel like how many times am I watching Major League Baseball and all these home runs are solo?
Well, hold on a second. So 23 of the 40 were solo. That means 17 home runs were hit with guys on base. He's hit six this year. 12 of them were two-run home runs. 5 of them were three-run home runs.
Right.
Well, that's there's a huge difference between what he did with his home runs last year and what he did with his home runs this year.
He also got protected last year. Because King Judge was hitting behind him. So he's always getting pitches to hit.
This is ridiculous. Pete Alonso has had a good year all year.
Really?
He's getting picked because you're making excuses for this guy.
He had a good year the first month and a half of the season.
You're making excuses for this guy.
I'm not making excuses.
No, you are. You just said there were more guys on base. He's got better protection.
What has Pete Alonso done over the last month?
He's definitely cooled off outside of the four-hit game on Monday.
Okay, so that's what I mean.
I'll ask it this way. Do you think Juan Soto is being pitched around constantly? I don't think so.
No, I think he's got a bad approach.
Okay.
At the plate.
Okay.
And he has it. And every now and then he gets out of it and he's fine. But for the most part, it feels like he has a bad approach.
And do you agree that with guys on base, for whatever reason, can't say this is going to be permanent. Again, we're just talking about this season. Would you agree that with guys on base, he's been a freaking disaster?
This year, yes.
Okay. There's your answer. So don't get cute with me and tell me, well, I got more guys on base, protection. Like, come on. That's not the reason. Don't defend him. I love Juan Soto. I'm glad he's a Met. We can call him out. Like, it's okay, bro. Doesn't mean I hate him. I didn't even boo him.
You hate him this year.
I don't even hate him this year. I'm calling out.
What's your emotion then?
I think he's been a disappointment this year.
Okay, so that means you hate him.
Hate's a very strong word.
It doesn't matter. It's just sports talk. You don't know him personally. You're not personally hating him.
But even in sports, I don't hate him. That is still too strong.
Like, you hate his moments?
I'm disappointed in the season he's had. Is that not a fair description of it?
Of course, but I think that applies to a lot of players this year.
Yes, but I think he's number one. I think when I look
Because of the expectation.
I think it's not just the expectations. He hasn't been impactful with guys on base. It's the same thing people killed Alonso for last year. And as much as I love Pete, I would admit it. I'd sit here and say, yes, he hasn't been clutch. But what I'd always say about Pete, and I'll say the same thing about Juan, is I know they're clutch. Now, I haven't seen it as a fan from Juan, but I watched him with the Yankees. I watched him with the Nationals. Watched him a little bit with San Diego. Like, I know he can hit in big spots, just like I knew until the bitter end, Pete can hit in big spots. But the impact of his season has been limited.
So you hate this version of Juan Soto you've got?
Is that what you're trying to get me to say?
Right. We're trying to get you to say you hate Juan Soto.
I'm very disappointed in his season.
He's sticking to his guns.
Well, I just mean hate. Like, I hate Sean sometimes, but...
That's natural.
It's of course. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And speaking of baseball, yesterday the Yankees won a game they needed to win. And the other day, I made the point very clear that if I am Brian Cashman, if I am the New York Yankees, I'd fire Aaron Boone. Not because I was being irrational or cranky or mean or shock jockey. I just thought that, hey, if I got to spark this team, this is what I would do. I thought Aaron Boone yesterday was this close. I got two fingers together. This close to actually making that a reality. We'll get into why and what happened to save it coming up. Plus more of your Met calls and Yankee calls at 888-808-1019.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.